Okay, today we're going to learn Daf Chav Hey Amar Aleph of Maseches Kiddushin. We're holding at the very bottom of Daf Chav Dalet and Beis, and we're still talking about knocking out limbs of an Eved Kanani, and that's how the Eved Kanani goes free. Amar B'chir Barashi Amar Rav. Hayisalo Yeseres V'chadcha. Let's say the Eved had six fingers on one hand, and you cut off one of the fingers. So Eved, Yosef and Lecheres. The Eved would go free with that, even though it's an extra finger and you just made him normal. Amar Avhunu V'hushen Eseperes Al Gavayah. But that's only if it was in line with the rest of the fingers on the hand. But if it was just like sticking, it was an extra finger sticking out of his neck or something, so then, or sticking out of his palm or something like that, then he would not go free. Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to bring a story that we learned from another din about a varim from this story. Sabi du Genuzia, the old people from Genuzia, lo asu lepirkei de Rav Chisda, did not come to the drasha of Rav Chisda. Amar le de Rav Amnuna, zil tzaninu. So Rav Chisda said to Rav Amnuna, go and tell them to hide up in their houses, meaning they should be, I'm putting them in cheirim, they should stay home. Azul amar lehu, my time alam asu rabbanu lepirka. So he went and he asked them, why didn't you guys come to the shir? Amar le, they said, am I nice? Why should we come to beat him in a milsav lepashaldan? We've asked him a shaila lahalacha, and he doesn't answer our questions. So if he doesn't know how to answer our questions, why should we come to a drush of a guy who doesn't know how to answer questions? Amlu mibi suminoi midi v'lepashit miluchu. So Rav Amnuna said, did you ever ask me something that I didn't answer you? So I'm the Talmud of Rav Chisda, and I know how to answer you. So shouldn't that give you the impression that he knows how to answer? He knows how to answer to you as well. So, ba'uminei, the Zakenim asked Rav Amnuna the following: Evet shesir sarabo bebeitim mahu. What if the master castrates the Evet, or he makes the Evet a sris, someone who's unable to have children? Kamum shab galidami olo. Is that considered to be an exposed mum, since the testicles are visible, are exposed? And if he's misaris those testicles, then it's considered mum shabagaloi or low. Or do we say that no, that's not considered an exposed mum, because even though one can see that there are testicles inside the sack, but it's covered by the sack. Lava biyade. So that question he wasn't ready for. He didn't know the answer to that. Amrul, so this kadim said, Mashmach, what's your name? Amrulahu Hamnuna. He said, my name is Hamnuna. Amrulay, Lav Hamnuna, Ela Karnuna. Your name shouldn't be Hamnuna, which sounds like someone that's established in the base medrash. It should be Karnuna. Karnuna is like a Yoshev Krono, someone who sits in the corner and doesn't learn Torah. The fact that you didn't know how to answer this question doesn't speak volumes about how much you know. Asal Kamed Rav Chisda. Rav Amnuna came to Rav Chisda and he told of this whole story, this whole conversation. Amalei Rav Chisda to Rav Amnuna, Mas Nisim Ba'ominach. What they asked you is a Beferish Abraisa. Titran, the Mishnah says in Maseches Nagayin, Esim Varba Rashi Avarm Sheba Adam Kulumein Metam Mishum Michya. The 24 tips of limbs on a person, if it cannot have a certain type of tzaras called a michya, because the only way that a person can be declared a mitzora is if the kohen is able to see the entire nega, the entire affliction. But when he looks at the tips of a limb, let's say a fingertip, he can't see it on all sides because it's curved. Ve'eluhem, and what are these 24 rashi evarim? Rashi has ba'os yadayim v'raglayim, the tips of your 10 fingers, the tips of your 10 toes. V'rashi has naim, the tips of your ears. V'rosh hachotem, the tip of your nose. V'rosh hagviyah, the tip of the male organ. V'rashi dadim shabi'isha, the tips of a woman's breasts. Rabbi Yehuda omer af shabi'ish, that even the tips of a man's chest, it would be included. V'tani Allah, bekulam eved yotzei ben lecheres. And we learned on that brisa that not only do these 24 body parts play a role in the halachos of tzara'as, they also play a role in terms of an eved going free. That these are the 24 limbs that if you knock them out, the eved goes free. Rebbe Omer af hasirus. And then Rebbe says, not only that, even if he just makes the Evid into a sris, that's an important concept. Sirus. Sirus means make someone unable to have children. A sris is someone who's unable to have children. Even that the Evid will go free for. Benazi Amrim Afalashim. Benazi says, even the tongue, if you knock off the tongue, the Evid would also go free for. So Rav Chisda explained, Amr Mar, Rebbe Omer Af HaSirus. So Rebbe said, even making Sirus. Sirus Demai. What kind of Sirus are we talking about? Ilemu L'Sirus Degid. If we're talking about knocking off the actual male Aver itself, the actual limb itself, so then Hainu Gviya, we already had that on the list of the 24 limbs. elav sirus debeitzim. It must have meant, when Rebbe said that even when you do sirus, it's going to let him go free, it must have meant the testicles, that you disable his testicles, you crush his testicles. So that must be something that he goes free for. So the Gemara explains Rebbe's opinion. Rebbe omer afa sirus, v'Rebbe lashon lo, and does Rebbe hold that if you knock off the tongue, then he doesn't go free? Or a minu, but I'll ask you a stira. Misha haya mazav. Person was sprinkling the paraduma ashes on someone who was tame. Vinitza hazal piv. And the sprinkling landed on the guy's mouth. Rebbe Omer Hiza. Rebbe says that's considered a valid sprinkling. The guy becomes tar, even though you need to sprinkle on the body of the tame person in an exposed area. The mouth is considered an exposed area. But Chamim Omrim Lo Hiza. But the Chamim say no, it does not count as a sprinkling on an exposed area of his body because it's inside his mouth. My love. Al Lishono, doesn't his mouth mean on his tongue? So you see, according to Rebbe, the tongue is considered exposed, not like it says in the Brisa about an Eved going free, where Rebbe said that on the knocking off the tongue is not good enough because it's not an exposed part of the Brisa. Says it's not an exposed part of the body. So says Gemara, Lo Al Sufasov. No, when the Brisa says that Rebbe holds if you sprinkle on his tongue, he's going to become tar. That's only talking about if you sprinkle not on his tongue, but on his lips, on his mouth, on a clearly exposed part of the body. But Eina Chinami, Rebbe would hold that the tongue is not considered a part of the body. Asks the Gemara, Al Svasav, if you sprinkle on his lips, Pshita, then isn't it obvious that that's considered an exposed part of the body, and therefore the guy who's tame, who gets para aduma sprinkled on his lips, should for sure be tahar? Mal detema zimnin dechalim svasei. I might have thought, no, sometimes a person closes his mouth really tight and you can't even see his lips, and therefore I would think that it's not called an exposed part of the body. Kamashmullah, that's why it has to tell me that it is considered an exposed part of the body. So the Gemara rejects this pshat as well. Vatanya, but we learn in a brisa that it says as follows: Al Lishono, if you sprinkle the paraduma stuff on his tongue. So you see clearly he's talking about the tongue and not the lips. The Brisa says explicitly the tongue. Va'otanya, we have another Brisa that lists off all of the blemishes that are considered a mum, that's a problem, that a bechor animal would lose its kedusha and would be allowed to be shechted because it has this mum. It could be eaten anywhere, and including that is v'shenitel rov halashon, if most of the tongue is removed. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says it doesn't have to be rov halashon, but rov hamedaber shebel lashono. It doesn't have to be most of the tongue. The tongue of an animal is very, very long. Even if most of the part of the tongue that the animal makes noises with, that's not actually attached, the loose part of the tongue, even if most of that is gone, that too is considered a blemish. So you see that according to these brisos, Rebbe holds that the tongue is considered an exposed part of the body. So why does Rebbe say that a Neved Kanani does not go free when you knock out his tongue? It's considered an exposed part of the body. Ela Rebbe Omer Sirus V'lomi Bayo Lashon. No, what Rebbe means to say is, if you crush his testicles, then he goes free. And of course, if you knock out his tongue, he goes free. That's even more obvious. Rebbe's not saying only when you crush his testicles, but not if you knock out his tongue. No, of course if you knock out his tongue. Benazai Omer Lashon Avol Sirus Lo. Benazai says, if you knock out his tongue, he goes free, but not if you crush his testicles. My af, why then does Benazai say even his tongue? Akamaisa, it's saying not only the 24 limbs that we listed otherwise, but even the tongue. But Benazai is saying not the testicles. So now I guess the main point would be that we have machlokas tanaim, if you crush the Eved's testicles, if he goes free. But most Tanayim agree that if you knock out his tongue, he goes free, because the tongue is considered exposed. Most Tanayim agree that if you knock out his tongue, he goes free, the tongue is considered exposed. And we also happen to have learned along the way that the tongue being exposed has ramifications for the halachos of being metayer someone from Tumas Meis. So asking, if the Pshat and the Braisa is that Benazai holds only a blemish on the tongue is considered an exposed mum, and not crushing his testicles. So in the Kadma de Ben Azai Bereisha, why doesn't Ben Azai's Shita opinion appear first in the Braisa before Rebbe's? So Gemara explains, Tana Shamal de Rebbe Vekava, the Tana of the Braisa heard Rebbe's Shita and wrote it into the Braisa, and then the Shamal de Ben Azai Vetani, and then he heard, only later did he hear Ben Azai's opinion, so he added it to the Braisa. But Mishnah Lo Zazam Mimakoma, but the way the Braisa was originally formulated wasn't changed. So why is it that Ben Azai's opinion comes last? Logically, we should have said that the Tanakama holds 24 limbs that the Eved goes free with. Then Ben Azai adds even the tongue. And then Rebbe should have been last, adds not just the tongue, but even the crushing of the testicles. So why doesn't it say it in that order? It's one of the answers, because it was written in the order that the Tana had heard these halachos. So he just left it in that order. Now, Ula is going to explain which dinim everyone agrees. For which dinim everyone agrees the tongue is considered an exposed limb or an unexposed limb, and which dinim there's a machlokas about. Amar Ula, hakol modim b'lashon le'inyan tumya galohu etzel hasheretz. Everyone agrees that the tongue, when it comes to the tongue touching something tameh, that it's considered an exposed part of the body, and therefore if the tongue touches a sheretz, the person becomes tameh. My taima, asher yigabo, amar... Amar Rachman, the Pasuk says, Asher Yigabo, Vahainabi Bar Negiyahu. Pasuk says that if you touch a sheretz, you become tameh. So the tongue is able to touch. Le'inyan tvila, when it comes to going to the mikvah, ketamundami, the tongue is considered like a hidden part of the body, meaning you don't have to have the water hit your tongue when you go to the mikvah. My taima, v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim, Amar Rachman, the Torah says, you should wash your flesh in the water. Ma b'saro me'abroi, afkal me'abroi. So we darshan, that just like your flesh is outside the body, so too anything that's outside, that's on the external part of your body, has to be touched by the water, but not your tongue. Lo nechleku elinyin hazaa. The whole machlokas is only when it comes to sprinkling the para aduma ashes. Does the sprinkling hitting the tongue count as if it hit an exposed part of your body and works, or is it considered as if it hit a hidden part of your body and does not work? Rebbe mitami lo l'tuma. Rebbe compares the tara process of para aduma to becoming tameh, and it's therefore considered exposed. Rabban mitami lo l'tfila, and the Rabban compare it to the mikvah, and therefore it's considered like a hidden part of the body. And they're both arguing really about the same pasuk. The pasuk says when sprinkling the para aduma, v'hiza hatar al hatameh. So Rebbe savar v'hiza hatar al hatameh b'yom ha'shlish v'yom ha'shvi v'chit'o, that you sprinkle on him on day 3 and day 7 of his tara process, v'chit'o, that's the sprinkling. Al hatameh means that the tumos are compared to each other. So whatever is considered to be an exposed area when it comes to becoming tameh is considered an exposed area when it comes to losing tuma. Rabbanan savri, the Rabbanan hold, that it says that after you do the sprinkling, he's verachatz b'mayim, he goes to the mikvah. So we compare the sprinkling of the para aduma water to the going to the mikvah. Rabbanan nami nidami al tuma. Why don't the Rabbanan compare it to becoming tameh? They think it makes more sense to learn the tahara that's achieved by para aduma from the tahara that's achieved by the mikvah. The Rebbe nedamu l'tvila. Why doesn't Rebbe say that we compare it to tvila? V'chibes begadav hifzik inyan. Because before it talks about going to the mikvah, it mentions the words v'chibes begadav, and that sort of breaks it up. So the Gemara asks, Sava Rebbe linyan tvila ketamundami. Does Rebbe hold that the inside of the mouth, when it comes to a mikvah, is considered a hidden part of the body? Does Rebbe really agree to that? That the water does not need to go on the inside of the mouth? Didn't the story once happen that a shivcha from Rebbe's household went to the mikvah? When she came out, they found that there was a bone stuck between her teeth, and because of that chatzitza, because there was something stuck there, Rebbe required to go to the mikvah again. So answers the Gemara, Granted, Rebbe does not require that the water go into the mouth, but the mouth cannot have any chatzitza inside of it. There cannot be any interposition, anything blocking inside of the mouth. You need it to at least be that if she would open her mouth, that the water would hit every part of the inside of the mouth. And this is part of a very important rule in halacha. Kidder Rabbi Zeira, this goes along with what Rabbi Zeira says. Dam Rabbi Zeira, and here's a critical concept. Kol ha-ro'i le-bila in bila ma-kevesbo. V'she'eno ro'i le-bila bila ma-kevesbo. Anything that is ra'oi, that is fitting, that is able to have bila, well then it doesn't need to actually have bila. Anything that's not even ra'oi for bila, though, we're going to disqualify. Bila is a din by a karban mincha. When you bring karban mincha, you have flour and oil, and you're supposed to mix the flour and the oil together really well. So if something, you have the right ratio of flour and oil, that all of the flour would be absorbed and mixed up with the oil, then you don't actually have to do the mixing, as long as you have the right ratio. It's ra'oi lebila. But if you don't even have the right ratio, you have so little oil that there's no way the flour would properly mix with that oil, then it's not even ra'oi lebila, then forget it. Then the whole karban mincha is possible. So we're saying the same thing over here. The inside of the mouth does not actually need the water to go inside of it, but it needs that if you would open your mouth, the water would be able to go inside and touch all the inside, the parts on the inside of the mouth. But if you have a bone stuck between your teeth where the water wouldn't even be able to get there, even if you did open your mouth, then it disqualifies it entirely. So a couple of main points over here. One main point is that everyone agrees the inside of the mouth is considered an exposed part of the body when it comes to becoming tamei. Everyone agrees it's considered a hidden part of the body when it comes to the mikveh. And there's a machlokas, what the inside of the mouth is considered when it comes to sprinkling of the paraduma. And then the last main point is, even though water doesn't have to go into the mouth cannot have any chatzitza. There can't be anything interposing in the mouth. That's based on that critical concept. Kol ha-ro'i le-bila in bila ma-kevesbo, kol she'eino ro'i le-bila bila me'akevesbo. Next time we'll pick up with Chaf Hei Amid Beis.